Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Pei Beis. Seventh Perek, Ketzad Tzoin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brayso regarding one who came to dispose of the tamei meat of his offering. If they came to burn it in their chatzeros with wood from the marach, we do not listen to them. And if they came to burn it before the bira with their own wood, we do not listen to them. Rather, they must use their own wood in their chatzeros and marach wood before the bira. The Gemara says that it's understandable why they should not burn marach wood in their chatzer, as it might take too much and have some left over, and they'll come to do mi'ila on the wood. But ask why there's a problem of burning one's own wood before the bira. Rav Yosef said, "Sholavayish as misha einlo," in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rava said, "Mifnei chashad," because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the maracha. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, a pesach shiyatzo shenitma yisarach miyad, a pesach that was taken out of Yerushalayim or became tamei on the 14th of Nisan should be burned at once. The Gemara asks for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned as opposed to another method, such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and not even a Nevi who died. After rejecting the source, as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halacha Moshe Misina that all psuim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details of around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. And point number three, the mission continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tuber sarasiv yisar b'shishasar. If the owners became tamei or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so it will become pusel as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochim ben Broka says, avze yisar miyad v'shein lo balim. This one too should be burned at once because it has nobody to eat it. Rav Yosef says the Malchokas pertains to a case where the owners became tamei before the Zrikas Adam, the Lizchaze Basel Achila, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochim Rokin considers it Absul Begufo, whereas the Tanakhama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tamei after the Zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the Psul occurred, then Psul Machlis Dabar Acher Uboy Ibra Tzura. It became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochanan understands that the Malchokas applies even in a case where the owners became tamei after the Zrikas Adam. So once again, the three points are number one. It was taught in a brayso regarding one who came to dispose of the tamei meat of his offering. If they came to burn it in their chatzeros with wood from the maracha, we do not listen to them. If they came to burn it before the bira with their own wood, we do not listen to them. Rather, they must use their own wood in their chatzeros and maracha wood before the bira. Now, the Gemara says it's understandable why we should not burn maracha wood in their chatzer, as they might take too much and have some left over, and they'll come to do me'ila on the wood. But ask why there's a problem burning one's own wood before the bira. Rav Yosef said, "Shulavayish is misha einwoods," in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rava said, "Mifnei chashad," because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take the excess wood home might think they're taking from the maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the maracha. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, HaPesach Sheyatza O Shenitma Yisarach Miyad, a Pesach that was taken out of Yerushalayim or became tamei on the 14th of Nisan, should be burned at once. And the Gemara asks for the source, the meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed, and not even Abihu died. After rejecting this source as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's Halacha Moshe Misina that all Psuim of Kodesh are burned, and that the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. And point number three, the Mishnah continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tuubar saraso v'yasar p'shishasar. If the owners became tamei or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so it become pasul as nosar, and then it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochim ben Broka says, Afzeh yasar miyad lefi she'en lo abalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has nobody to eat it. Now, Rav Yosef says the Malchokas pertains to a case where the owners became tamei before the Zrikas Adam, the Lizchaze Basel Achila, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rav Yochim Merokan considers it a psul begufo, whereas the Tanakhama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tamei after the Zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, psul machmas davar acher uboy ibrud sura. It became puzzle from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it is burned. Rav Yochanan understands that the machlokas applies even in a case where the owners became tamei after the zrikas adam. All right, so now we go to our simon daf pei beis, and our standard simon is a pub. So here goes. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tamei customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in the fire. Once again, in slow motion. The beer pub, that must be more in daf pei beis. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why there's a problem of burning one's own wood before the beer? Rav Yosef said, Shalul Avayish as Mishainlo, in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rav said, Mifnei Chashad, because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the Maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the Maracha. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises, which reminds the Gemara for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and none of the Navi who died. After rejecting this source, as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halacha l'moshe Mishnah that all psulim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tamei customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in a fire. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tu ubar saraso v'yasar peshishasar. If the owners became tamei or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so that it will become pusil as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says, Avze yasar miyad v'yifnishen l'obalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has no way to eat it. Rabbi Yosef says the Malchus pertains to a case when the owners became tamei before the zrikas adam, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan Broka considers it a psul b'gufa, whereas the Tanakama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tamei after the zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, then it became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Malchus applies even in a case where the owners became tamei after the zrika's adam. So once again, the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tummy customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in the fire. All right, now it's time for our four-blot back chazora. Daf Ein Ches, so the simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went, ugh, when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was tamei, making it pasul, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Once again, in slow motion. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went, ugh. A child going, ugh, that must be one Daf Ein Ches. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends, which reminds us, the Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi, who holds Ein Atzitz Maratza Achilos, with the Mishnah, and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, and therefore the power of the Tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in his day of Tuma. This explanation is rejected based on a brisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the Paraduma, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatosha Yusham Divrei Rimer. Rimer says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the third and seventh day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra Batzibur, why is Hazan Nida at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tuma. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah does not go, according to Rabbi Yossi. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went, ugh, when he was told the meat of its pretend Pesach was Tameh, making it Pasul. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Basar V'chelv Kayim Eino Zorik HaSadam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tameh, and the chelv remains tower, one does not do Zrika Sadam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Lezer, who ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit, and therefore it may not be done. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went, ugh, when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making a pusil, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because we were both registered on the same little lamb. Which reminds us, the Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav that in a case where the Pesach meat became Tameh, imzark hurtza, if one threw the blood on the Mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance, and the owners are exempt from a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says that achil lo ma'akpa, eating is not essential to attaining acceptance. The Gemara seeks the source of Rabbi Nassim's opinion, and after rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that if one group registered for the Pesach and the group had so many members that there was only kazayas for each, and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanakhama holds the latter group must bring a Pesach Sheni, whereas Rabbi Nassim holds that both groups are exempt, shekvar nizra kadam, since the blood has already been thrown with him, registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nassim holds it's not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyuv. Daf Ayin Tes, so the Simur Daf Ayin Tes is an 8, a pen, but we use a scribe. So here goes. The senior scribes, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Tes. The senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tummy from a mace versus a sheretz, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that even if the majority of the Jews and the Kohanim were tahor, but the Klei Sharis were tummy, all the people, whether tahor or tummy, make the offering in tumah, because the communal offering brought in tumah is not divided. Rav Chisa said that this only applies shenitma sak mitame mace, where the knife or the other kli became tummy through contact with someone who had contact with a mace. The knife, therefore, is then mitame, the one who's doing the shechting, so that when the passing offering is made, but tumah is a guf to karis kamas of it. It's made by people who are in a state of body tumah, who would be subject to karis if not for the special dispensation that applies to communal tumah. Since the avoda of the Pesach is being done by people whose bodies are tamei, those who are previously tamei may also participate in it. This din does not apply if the kli was touched by a sheretz, since it's not mitamei, the people bring the carbon and they remain tahor. Therefore, those who are tamei may not join them. Rava disagrees and says that it also applies in the case of a sheretz. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tummy from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes, who counted half the people tahor and the other half tummy, which reminds us, there's a malchokas in a case where the Jews were evenly divided with half of them tahor and half of them tummy. Rav says, mechsal mechsal karov, a case of half and half is treated like a majority. The Gemara explains, ha'u osin l'atzman, v'ha'u osin l'atzman. The tahor ones make the Pesach offerings by themselves, and the tummy ones make the Pesach offerings themselves. Rav Kahana said, mechsal mechsal ain't a karov, in a case of half and half, each segment is not treated like a majority. And the Gemara explains, tahorin osin as a rishon, utmeim osin as a sheni. Those who are tahor make the first Pesach offering, since the minority group of tahorim are never exempt from making the first Pesach, and those who are tamei make the Pesach sheni. The Gemara brings a second version of Rav Kahana's position, that those who are tamei make neither the first or second Pesach. They do not make Pesach rishon because they're not the majority, which would allow them to bring in a tumah, and they don't make Pesach sheni because they're not the minority. So the senior scribes were busy counting how many kelim had become tamei from a mace versus a sheretz, while the rookie scribes who counted half the people tahor and the other half tamei were in a quandary whether to include the women, which reminds us. The Gemara brings braisas that supports Rav's position and the two versions of Rav Kahana's position. The middle braisas support the first version of Rav Kahana, that the tamei half is deferred to Pesach sheni, and the Gemara asks how Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana would explain it. The Gemara answers that the case was where they were evenly divided between tahor and tamei, but the majority of men were tahor, but nashim mashlimos l'tameim, and when the women were included in the count, they filled in the missing number of tamei people and brought the total to exactly half. And the Tana of this braisa holds nashim berishon reshus. The participation of the woman in the first Pesach is optional. Therefore, you must subtract the woman from the count of those who are tamei, with the result that those who are tamei are actually the minority of the ones who are counted. And the rule is that the minority is deferred to Pesach Sheni. Daf Pei. So the simur Daf Pei is payday. Payday. So here goes. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become tamei from a sheretz, it turned out the majority were zavim and the minority were tamei mesim from a hidden corpse and were permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitzis maratza for tumas atahom. Once again, in slow motion. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely, that must be one dot pay. Payday. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become tamei from a sheretz, which reminds us, it was stated that if the Jews were evenly divided with half of them tahor and the other half tamei, Rav says, we're matamei, one of the tahor people, with the sheretz, so the majority will be tamei, and they all bring the pesach together in tumah. Now the Gemara clarifies, the Rav made a statement in a case where there's a Tana who holds that in the case of half and half, they do not all make the pesach in tumah, and who also holds, like Rabbi Yehuda said, in karban sibur chaluk, that a karban sibur is not divided, meaning once a segment of the community is making the offering in tumah, it's not fitting for the remainder of the community to avoid contact with them. So in such a case, he'll be forced to be tamei one of the tahor people with the sheretz, so the majority will be tamei, and the community will be able to make the offering in tumah. Ul disagrees and says that when the community is divided, we send one of the tahor people to a distant road, so the majority will be tamei. And the Gemara clarifies that Ula disagrees with using a sheret, since he holds that we may shecht the Pesach and Nuzri Kazadam on behalf of someone tummy from a sheret. And Rav Nachman disagrees with Ula, since he held that no one would volunteer to go to the trouble of traveling to a distant road. So after the evenly split community paid one bermer handsomely to become tummy from a sheret, it turned out the majority were Zavim and the minority were Tmei Mesim or Mehidim Korps and weren't permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, which reminds us it was stated that if the majority of the community were Zavim and the minority were Tmei Mesim, Rav says that those who are Tmei Mesim do not bring on Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. They don't bring on Pesach Rishon because they're a minority of the community and the minority does not bring Pesach and Tuma on Pesach Rishon. And they don't make it on Pesach Sheni because wherever the community brings a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, an individual who is Tameh brings it on Pesach Sheni. But whenever the community does not bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, an individual that was Tameh does not bring it on Pesach Sheni. And the Meiri clarifies that the Zavim also don't make the Pesach on either Pesach Rishon or Sheni. They can't make it on Pesach Rishon because Tumah is not Tuchuyah for Zavim. And they can't make it on Pesach Sheni because the majority of the community is not deferred to Pesach Sheni. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tameh from a sheret, it turned out the majority were Zavim, the minority were Tmei Mesim from a hidden corpse, and were permitted to bring a Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitzit is Meratzah for Tumas at the home. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that the tzitzit is Meratzah in a case where it became known after the Zrikas Adam that the Pesach had become Tameh, but Nitma Haguf. But if it became known that the body, the owner, became Tameh, it's not Meratzah because they said concerning another one making a Pesach, Hatzitz Meratzah al Tumas Adam, Vein Hatzitz Meratzah al Tumas Haguf. The tzitzit meratzah for tumah of the blood, but not for the tumah of the owner's body. But if it became known that the owner became tamei from tumas at the home, from the tumah of the deep, which is a tumah that was unknown to anyone, the tzitzit is meratzah. Daf payoff. So the simmer daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa. That must mean we're in daf payoff. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home, and who told the kohen bringing a tamei that it's permitted for him. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef inquired, Kohen Maratz B'Tamin, concerning the Kohen who affects acceptance for the Tamin, meaning the one that does the Avoda, was Tumas at the home permitted for him or not? Rav said, it's a Kal V'Chomer. If in place where known Tumah is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, Tumas at the home is permitted, according to some, then in a place where known Tumah is permitted, such as a Tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a Tamid Kohen when no Tahor Kohen is available, isn't it logical that Tumas at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain't done in Kal V'Chomer Mahalach. We don't derive a Kal V'Chomer from Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law of the tummy that Tumas the home is permitted for the Kohen from the Gezer Shava of Mo'odo from the case of the Pesach. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world. Which reminds the Gemara asks for the source for Tumas the home and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a braisa that states that which is Tumas Dahom, any Tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. If even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ain't zet Tumas Dahom. It is not Tumas Dahom, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition. The Gemara concludes, Tumas Dahom, Hilchas Gemirah, Ukras Makta Ba'alma. The law of Tumas Dahom is a lachal Moshe Misina, and the pasuk brought by each Amor was only on a smachta. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas Dahom, and who told the Kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Which reminds us, a braisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at the home. If one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, it's tumas at the home. But if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, it's not tumas at the home. Rashi explains that although the tumah is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it, in spite of its position. The Braisa concludes that Tumas Dahom only applies for the Tumah of a maze. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erev. Number 1. Which stuff you learned that the din that meat is taken out of its boundary is burned is Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai that all psuim of Kodesh are burned. That's on Daf. Pei Beis. Good number 2. Which stuff you learned that in the case where half the community are Zavim, the other half are Tmei Mesim, neither half brings a Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. That's on Daf. Pay. Good number 3. Which stuff do we have machlokes in a case when the owners became tummy or died, whether the Pesach must be left overnight, become noser, or should be burned at once since there's nobody to eat it? That's on Duff. Pay base. Good number 4. Which stuff do we learn that we derive the law from the tummy that Tumas the home is permitted for the Kohen from the Gezer Shava of Mo'odo from the case of the Pesach? That's on Duff. pay off. Good number five, wished up the heaven malchut, because Rav Chisson Rav wedded the din that when the clay sheretz hatami, everybody brings pesach and tuma, applies to tuma from a mace or also a sheretz. That's on daf. Ein test. Good number six, wished up the grand that the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas tahom is when the mace is found under straw, earth, or pebbles, not water droplets or crevices and rocks. That's on daf. Pay off. Good number seven, wished up the malchut, because why one may not burn their wood before the bira, where Rav Yosef says it's not to be mevayish, and Rava says it's mipnei chashad. That's on daf. Pay base. Good number eight, wished up we had learned about a tanu who holds that nashim on the first pesach is rishus. That's on daf. Ein test. Good number nine, wished up to learn that tumas at the home is defined as tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. That's on daf. Pay off. Good. And number 10, which daf do we malchuk is whether mechs all mechs is considered like a rove or not. That's on daf. Ein test. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do we learn about prohibited activities before mincha? That's on daf. Test and shove is good. Number two, which daf do we learn that a wife can give to the shittiv without her husband's consent? That's on daf. Pay an erevin. Good. And number three, which daf do you learn about six things that are unbecoming to a Talmud Chacham? That's on daf. Mem Gimel and Brachos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.